Live from the road course at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, this is Indy Lights, presented by Cooper Tires on the IndyCar Radio Network and SiriusXM IndyCar Nation.
Set to put the finishing touches on what's been a busy day at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway here on IndyCar Radio. Nick Yeoman, Davey Hamilton, our driver analyst, joins us. It's time to go racing for the Indy Lights Series, presented by Cooper Tires for round number three. Earlier today, we went qualifying, and it was Linus Lundqvist and Hunter McElroy who scored the front row. And our pit reporters, Ryan Marine, Rob Blackman, caught up with those drivers after qualifying.
Linus Lundqvist picks up pole position for race one of the weekend. Linus, you led the field to green and won one of the two Indy Lights races on this road course here 1 year ago. Pole position number five in the Indy Lights series for you. And it didn't come easy today. You had to overcome that flat tire. How did you put that behind you?
Well, I was a little bit lucky because it was on our first set of tires. Well, I say lucky, but if it were to happen, it would be on the first set because everybody went faster on the second set. But as soon as I pulled out, it was almost like it was an oval setup because it started to steer by itself. So it was a little bit of a panic, yeah, I'm not going to lie. I pulled over at the end of pit lane wondering if a wheel would come loose. But they said it's probably just a flat. So, yeah, brought it back around, had plenty of time. The guys, you know, kept their cool, did a good job, changed it, and, went after it.
We've seen over the years turn one, lap one at this racetrack can be awfully treacherous, but you'll be out in front. You'll have the best seat in the house for it. How much of a sigh of relief is that for you, knowing that hopefully all the craziness will be behind you?
Yeah, well, like I said, I hope that it is behind me and doesn't really go up to the front, but you never know. It's such a long way down into turn one, so you know, we put yourself in the best position, and I gotta say a massive thank you to my team, H&D. You know, they've done such a good job, and we were fast at St. Pete, but we were fast at Barber. We've been fast here, so it's looking to be a good season for us.
Good luck in the race.
Thank you.
Let's go to Rob Blackman, who is caught up with the driver who will start second when we go racing later today.
Yeah, and that is Hunter McElroy, the rookie, who is currently 13th in the standings. He just set himself up for a P2 start later on this afternoon in race number one here in this Indy Lights race. You would think it's a positive finishing, or I should say starting second later on this afternoon, but you seem to be very disappointed with your performance, Hunter, am I right?
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's a good result. I can't be too disappointed ever on the front row, you know. It's a good result, but you know, I'm here to win. I really want to make the most opportunity, and I just didn't quite do the job then. I made mistakes on both my laps, but luckily on the front row. So can't thank the guys enough. Really good car. Love being here at Indy. It's best racetrack in the world, in my opinion. So I'll keep pushing. I think we're in a great spot. You know, I just really wanted that pole, but I was on pole at St. Pete and I didn't win. So we're in the second best spot possible. So I think we have a very good car, and I'm looking forward to the race.
Mistakes you mentioned, are they mistakes you can learn from and put behind you and make a difference later this afternoon when you actually race for the checkers?
Yeah, it was just, you know, I got in the limiter one lap. These cars are a very sensitive limiter. So if you hit a bump, I just took a little bit too much curb and then hit a limiter. And then another lap, I just locked the rears. So, racing, right? So you never get the perfect lap, but I definitely could have done a better job. But hey, second place, man, can't be too devastated. I'll put my head down and see what we can do this afternoon.
And we'll see you this afternoon. Thank you, Hunter.
Thanks, mate.
Linus Lundqvist and Hunter McElroy, that's your front row. We'll give you the starting lineup here in just a bit. As again, we'll go racing. This is round three of this 2022 Indy Lights Championship presented by Cooper Tires. 35 laps around this super technical and fast road course at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. The points leader coming in is Linus Lundqvist. He won at Barber Motorsports Park. Second in points, Benjamin Peterson. Third is Matthew Brabham. So, Davey, we're about 90 seconds away from going racing and firing the engines here. This is going to be an interesting one. Lundqvist has got some experience. He's won here in the past. And you got McElroy, who's super fast and wants to shake off what's been a rough start to the season.
and admittedly had a little bit of state qualifying. And he feels like he could have been on that pole position. So he's going to do all he can on the start down there in turn one. Now, turn one, as we know, it can be very, very tricky. They need to keep it clean and get it through turn one and turn two all clean and then just lay out. Now, this is one of those tracks that, Nick, that they can get spread out. So typically no yellows in these races. And so we'll just have to wait and see what this brings. The field is tight right now, but Lundqvist just seems to have an edge on everybody.
Sun high in the sky, the conditions. I mean, we're expecting some rain tomorrow for race number two. Things perfect for these drivers right now?
Well, you know, the coolness is getting better, right? You get some shade on the front straightaway, and some of the racetrack has shade. The downside is when you're coming back onto the front straightaway, when you're in that sector of the course, sun's in your eyes. So they have to make sure they have a little bit of sun visor on their helmets and their shields just so they can see coming on that front straightaway before it is shaded. So they have a little bit of work.
All right. A year ago, Linus Lundqvist and David Malukas won races here at IMS. Time to go trackside to get things started. Let's join the public address.
Now it's time for the most famous words in motorsports. Here to give the command for today's Indy Lights Grand Prix of Indianapolis, welcome the CMO of Donato's, Sharif Thacker.
Drivers, start your engine.
So those engines will soon come to life here at on the front stretch of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Field of 14. Here's how they'll line up for today's Indy Lights Grand Prix of Indianapolis.
Here's today's Indy Lights presented by Cooper Tires starting lineup. Row 7.
Ryan Finney, United States.
Kippen Simpson, Cayman Islands.
Row 6.
James Rowe, Ireland.
Christian Vogel, United States.
Row 5.
Ernie Francis Jr., United States.
Jacob Abel, United States.
Row 4.
Antonio Cervelli, Canada.
Benjamin Peterson, Denmark and United States.
Row 3.
Stingray Robb, United States.
Matt Brabham, United States.
Row 2.
Daniel Frost, Singapore.
Christian Rasmussen, Denmark.
On the outside of row 1.
Hunter McElroy, New Zealand.
And starting on the pole,
Linus Lundqvist, Sweden.
So that's how they line up here at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. It's a massive road course. 14 turns, 3 turn announcers to help call the action. Michael Young down in road course turn number 1. Michael, you're seeing those drivers leave pit lane here in Indy Lights.
Yeah, the very tail end of the field. Ryan Finney just now making his way off of pit lane. This is one of the most exciting corners in all of motorsports as this field will come down the front straightaway of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, albeit in the wrong direction, but the road course direction. They'll have a 90-degree turn to the right, then a left-hander, which makes up turn number 2. Then he streaked down into turn number 3, which is also a right-hander, and they're very hard and slow turn number 4. The key there is to get the momentum and get a nice run. They will then be approached by turns 5 and 6, which we call the switchback. It's a quick left-right-hander combination. You hit it right, you get a good run down into turn number 7. You hit it wrong, and it could cost you some time here on the track. Then, coming into the view, going down into turn number 7, high atop the pagoda here at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, our very own Mark Janes. Good afternoon, Mark.
Thank you, Michael. Great view of the ever-evolving skyline of the capital city of the great state of Indiana and much of this massive infield. This is Holman Boulevard, a straightaway that provides plenty of opportunities for passing as you set up for the left-hander that is turn number 7. Then they'll go through the series of S's, if you will, with that blue and white curbing to the right and the left as they switch back and forth. Then they'll climb on the binders and make a right-hander. Coming into their view will be what is the turn 2 suites of the oval here at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway at a deceptively fast portion of the racetrack. The south end of this famed course here at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. And when they do that, they come into the view of Jake Query.
Thank you so much, Mark. Once again, a privilege and honor to be here calling this action here at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway as the field continues to work their way around here. The area you talked about, Mark, when they come into my view is coming off of the S's and a right-hander that is turned number 9 that kind of then sweeps, and actually 9 is more a kink to the left. It's an S's area, but the big issue is the right-handed turn that is turn number 10 that you talked about, Mark. Too much speed, too much inertia. You can go off onto the rumble strips and into a grass area, but it's a long sweeping right-hander that kind of incorporates a turn number 11. That takes them onto the south area of the oval here at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway before setting up for the right-hander that is turn number 12. At about 200 yards, it's a left-hander that's turn 13 and a sweep that sends them back onto the main straightaway here at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Nick Yeoman, the one storyline so far at the outset of this race, it is sun-drenched here in the south end of this track, and the sun is really dancing off of that area of the oval, so that track might lose a little bit of grip. One of the challenges these drivers will negotiate here today.
All right, the field has got the one to go. They're navigating the S's. We see that Chevrolet Corvette pace car start to pull ahead of the field as they will start to line up two by two. Davey, moments away from going racing here for these, again, future IndyCar stars. All of these guys got their sights set on a scholarship prize at the end of the season.
Yeah, they all want to be in IndyCar. So every one of these drivers are here for a reason, not only to win races, but to go to the next level. And that is the IndyCar Series. That's what's a great thing having this series on the same weekends that the IndyCar owners could see them, see their talents. A lot of them are driving for IndyCar teams that just in the Indy Lights Series. So here they go, two by two, going around that museum right now, Nick.
Pace car pulls away. It is Linus Lundqvist on the pole. Hunter McElroy and that white car for Andretti Autosport will line up in the second spot. Little gamesmanship to the last couple corners. They've still got the right-hander, the swooping right-hander that takes them out of the front stretch where Lundqvist will control this start. The alignment looks perfect. It's a beautiful sight. You've got seven rows of cars all lined up, set to go racing for round number three of the Indy Lights Series presented by Cooper Tires, and we're going to get a yellow flag. Davey, no start here at Indy Lights.
Well, first of all, when you start a race, you have to have at least pace car speed. Lundqvist brought him down so slow, so dangerous to bring him down that slow. You have to have a little bit of speed. They were stacked on top of each other. That's just a recipe for disaster. So I'm sure race control told Lundqvist, hey, speed it up at a good 20, 30 miles an hour faster than they were.
And now that we've got a chance, let's check in with our pit reporters. Rob Blackman, you've been down on pit lane for the first couple sessions. A couple things you're keeping an eye on here as we're set to go racing.
I'll be keeping my eyes on the rookie Hunter McElroy, and not only because of the fact he joined me on the pre-race show, and I do appreciate that, but the Andretti Autosport driver, quite frankly, Nick, as you well know, has just had some bad luck through the first two races of the year. I understand that he's 13th currently in the point standings, but let's keep in mind he started on the pole at St. Pete. Yes, he finished last, but he did start up front and then didn't have a great showing, obviously, at Barber just a few weeks ago where he finished 12th, but he did win three races in Indy Pro 2000 last year, and I feel like for the native of Los Angeles, Hunter McElroy, his luck is about to change, and I think it's going to change right here in Indianapolis. As I throw it down to my pit reporter partner, Ryan Marine. Hey, Ryan.
Hey, Rob. Well, the field's starting to pack up two by two, and it'll be Linus Lundqvist leading him to the green. And, Nick, why don't we send it back up to you to call the start of the first race of the weekend. Linus Lundqvist on pole after dealing with a flat tire, still put the car on pole, and he's about to lead him to green.
Yeah, you're right, Ryan. A lot of adversity for Linus Lundqvist so far today, and what's been a really good start to the season, bringing him a little bit faster through the final couple corners. The alignment of the field still looks pretty good as they start to bunch up out of the final corner. Lundqvist noses ahead just a little bit, waiting to see these drivers accelerate out of the final corner. Lundqvist and McElroy are on the front row. Now they'll jump into the throttle. They are super stacked up, Michael Young, but it is Linus Lundqvist who jumps to the race lead.
Linus Lundqvist trying to hold off Hunter McElroy. Now further back in the field, it's Christian Rasmussen trying to take the lead, swinging to the outside. Linus Lundqvist locks him up, but Christian Rasmussen able to take over that second position. Now Daniel Frost battles for third. A great move for Daniel Frost. Matty Brabham now battling for that fourth position, but Hunter McElroy falling back to fourth as he is battling still with Matty Brabham. What a great start to this race. Christian Rasmussen leads him down Holman Boulevard.
Front two starting to step out just a little bit. That's Linus Lundqvist. We've got a side-by-side battle just behind them, and that is Hunter McElroy trying to get a position back. Looks like he's going to be able to do it. Going to try to grab that third spot now through 7, 8, and 9. The leader, Linus Lundqvist, sets up for turn 10.
By the time they go through the S's, things start to single out just a little bit. Again, the leader is Lundqvist. We'll call him about two car lengths his advantage right now, working his way, everybody single file. off of turn number 11 and clean, Nick. That is the important thing here in what has been a clean and racy first lap. It is Linus Lundqvist nursing now a two-car length advantage off of turn number 13.
Yeah, a lot of these drivers testing out the brakes on this opening lap to try to stay off of each other, but it is Linus Lundqvist by 0.4 seconds. Front two have gotten away just a little bit. Lundqvist and Rasmussen, a battle for the lead, Michael, headed to turn one.
Yeah, I thought Rasmussen got around it, but they traded the spot as they made their way through turn number four. Rasmussen tries it again to look to the outside. Now back to the inside, all over that rear wing of the leader, Linus Lundqvist. So Rasmussen about a car length behind as they make their way through turn number four. So Linus Lundqvist now works his way through turns five and six. He'll gap himself about two car lengths over Christian Rasmussen.
Rasmussen has a fast race car, especially at the end of the main straightaway. Gets a great run off of turn number 14. Going to try to get a great run down Holman Boulevard. They'll go side by side, and it looks like he's going to skip in front of him. Break a little later. Question is, can he hold on to it? Yeah, mission accomplished, Jake Query. So from third to first, Christian Rasmussen in turn number 10.
So Rasmussen now with about a car length and a half advantage, but Lundqvist coming off of turn number 10 is going to try to close that in. Not able to get any ground right now. Working their way off of turn number 11. Back onto the oval here on the south end of the speedway. Going the opposite direction than what we normally see. Nick, once again, this area of 12 and 13, everybody's kind of single files out, and then they make that dash trying to make a move back into turn number one.
So the pole sitter and points leader, Linus Lundqvist, has lost the lead here on lap number two. Question is, can he hold on to that second spot? Michael, looks like he might charge back towards the lead, running down Rasmussen into one.
Yeah, he'll take a peek to the inside, think better of it, now try to swing to the outside. He'll have the advantage if he can get alongside Christian Rasmussen. He cannot. Now Hunter McElroy starts to make a charge. Daniel Frost in that fourth position. Big mover Benjamin Peterson. He's in that fifth position. So as we see Christian Rasmussen check out, he's got an eight-car length advantage over the pole sitter, Linus Lundqvist, and then Hunter McElroy third.
Looking at Hunter McElroy, he's awfully fast at the exit on Duholman Boulevard. Meanwhile, Lundqvist is trying to get that top spot back. Not going to be able to do it here. The braking pretty much the same. It's that typical accordion effect, Jake Query, where they come hard into that straightaway and then they fan themselves out as soon as they clear the turn.
Front five have really kind of separated themselves, but just as I say that, Brabham starting to make a move. Now they're going to go side by side, coming up in turn number 11. Rasmussen again has Lundqvist there. Lundqvist tried to make the move, couldn't do it. Now going to try to go outside in on turn number 12. Not able to make that move. Rasmussen holds him off by just a car length, but Nick, things really starting to tighten up front.
Yeah, Christian Rasmussen did not get through the S as well, and that stacked things up. And Michael Young, that's going to create an awful interesting run down to turn number one. The front four, Rasmussen, Lundqvist, McElroy, and Frost doing some drafting here at Indianapolis.
Yeah, that poor run through the S's has stacked him up, and now Lundqvist will pop to the outside. Can he get alongside? This time he almost does it. Indeed, he does. So Linus Lundqvist makes contact with Christian Rasmussen. Rasmussen spins around. That will put Linus Lundqvist back to about the fifth position. Turn the lead over to Hunter McElroy. Daniel Frost runs second. Benjamin Peterson third. Christian Rasmussen back underway.
Caution is out on lap number four. An accident involving the front two. Davey Hamilton, Linus Lundqvist, Christian Rasmussen going side by side through turns one and two.
Yeah, just too early to do that. I mean, I know they're racing hard and they need to, and you get such a draft on that straightaway. We've seen Lundqvist really go to the inside of him. We get to the next corner and just, you know, they just touch. I mean, I can't read the angle that I have. I don't know if one of them moved down or one of them moved up, but it's just unfortunate. Maybe this is a little bit better angle to see if we find out who did what there, but they're racing so close and just way too early in the race. Ooh, it looked like Lundqvist just kind of hit him in that left rear tire, spinning him around, and then really he got the worst of the damage as well. And not Lundqvist, but McElroy. Oh, yeah, there it goes. It looks just like, yeah, kind of hit him from the back. And when you get hit from the back like that, yeah, you just have no control. And Rasmussen was just along for the ride after that.
Yeah, Rasmussen was on the outside, Lundqvist on the inside. Rasmussen didn't give him a ton of room to the left. But you're right, Davey. I mean, certainly Linus made the contact there, and it looked like front wing damage for Christian Rasmussen. We see that thing wobbling coming back to pit lane. A brutal start to the season for him.
Yeah, that's not good. It's one of the Andretti Autosport cars. I mean, it was so fast. And like I say, it looked like he just, when you get hit in the back on the road, it's usually the guy from the back that's hitting you gets the ticket. So it's basically what it was. It just looked like Lundqvist just got him, just didn't have the space and got him in the left rear tire and turned him around.
To pit lane and Ryan Marine.
Christian Rasmussen. leaving the pit lane, as you heard just a moment ago. Front wing change, and they send him right back out. Everybody else, everything else with that car seemed to be all right, so they've released him back into the fight. How about on your side of the pit lane, Rob?
Yeah, the same can be said for Linus Lundqvist. He literally came in for all of maybe 5 seconds as the pit crew gave him a quick once-over and sent him right back on his way. So Linus Lundqvist is out back out on the track.
So an interesting development early on in Indy Lights as we've gotten the one to go to restart this event again for Christian Rasmussen. What a miserable start. He came in 11th in points after a 12th place finish at St. Petersburg. He ran out of gas on the last lap and a half and then finished 11th at Barber Motorsports Park. So we thought this might be the weekend he could turn it around. It's going to take a mighty strong charge for him to get back up there. And then, of course, as for Linus Lundqvist, he was the points leader coming into this weekend. So a big hit for him. The good news is, though, Davey, both of those drivers stay on the lead lap. They're going to be fun to watch charge through the front of the field now.
They both have a lot of speed, and it will be fun to watch them charge through. Just unfortunate. That's one thing that this series also teaches you is just that learning experience of when to push, when not to push, and when not to make mistakes like that that's starting the race.
So we're about to get the one to go here in Indy Lights presented by Cooper Tires here on the IndyCar Radio Network. Davey Hamilton, our driver analyst. My name's Nick Yeoman. Out on the course, Michael Young, Jake Query, and, of course, the voice of the IndyCar series, Mark Janes, who is atop the Pagoda here at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Rock Blackman and Ryan Marine been busier than a lot of times we expect for these Indy Lights races, reporting on the damage of those two cars. But it'll be Lundqvist who will restart in 13th, Christian Rasmussen in 14th, and Michael Young, as we get set to go racing here once again. Those two involved in the accident are hustling to catch the rear of the field, but the action down there near you in turn number one's been pretty good so far.
Yeah, and it's like Davey said, it was a little too early to be going side by side as Christian Rasmussen swung to the outside, then gained that inside advantage. Lundqvist takes it back, and the two make contact. They didn't really do each other any favors. A lot of beating and banging down here, and a lot of positions being swapped. Drivers taking advantage of good runs off of turn number 14 coming down here to turn number one. Good news for Christian Rasmussen and Linus Lundqvist. They have caught the tail end of the field. Will be very interesting, as you guys just said, watching them make their way back through the field.
So let's reset full field rundown with 6 laps completed. And after this first caution, it'll be Hunter McElroy who will restart as the race leader. Daniel Frost is second. Third is Benjamin Peterson. Fourth is Matthew Brabham. Fifth is Stingray Robb. Antonio Saravalli is sixth. Seventh, Christian Bogle. And it's Kiffin Simpson, Ernie Francis Jr., and Jacob Abel through 10th. 11th is James Rowe Jr. 12th is Ryan Finney. And then Lundqvist and Rasmussen, who started towards the front, now shotgun on the field, 13th and 14th. Pace car pulls away. They are now in the control of Hunter McElroy, who started on the front row, fell back to fourth, and after this accident that takes out the top two, now all of a sudden finds himself P1 with Daniel Frost right up that tailpipe, Benjamin Peterson in third. None of those drivers have won in Indy Lights. Boy, McElroy not wasting any time. He is quickly on the accelerator. We're back to racing at Indianapolis, and Hunter McElroy, Michael, has a healthy lead heading down to turn one.
In the first two rounds of 2022, it was mistakes that cost Hunter McElroy, but he got a nice jump over Daniel Frost, but Frost makes a heck of a charge down into turn number one. Peterson in the third position. Then Matt Brabham all over the rear wing of Benjamin Peterson. Stingray Robb is in fifth, but it's Hunter McElroy that will lead the field through turn number four. Daniel Frost about 3 car lengths behind him. Hunter McElroy leads him out of turns 5 and 6.
Matt Brabham and Stingray Robb are the cars that's pedaling the hardest right now. They're fourth and fifth respectively, and they have Peterson in the crosshairs now as they set up for turn number seven. McElroy and Frost, they tighten up a little bit. Rear end starts to step out as they climb it through the throttle. Off of turn number 8 to turn number 9. Now the right-hander to 10. Back to Jake.
That battle for fourth is a good one. Matthew Brabham holds it, and it is Stingray Robb who is trying to get it. Call it a 2-car length disadvantage for Stingray Robb. Not able to make it up through turn number 11. But the leader is Hunter McElroy. He's got about a 2-car length advantage of his own over Frost. Then it's about 5 car lengths back to Peterson.
Yeah, McElroy can't quite shake Frost as they head through the final corner of turn 14 back out of the front straightaway. McIlroy takes it right up against the wall, but Daniel Frost is right there, right in the tire tracks, Michael, as they snake down to the pit wall and turn into turn one.
And the driver from Singapore will make a bold move around the outside of Hunter McIlroy. He'll take over the lead. So Daniel Frost, with the big power move, will now have a two-car length advantage over Hunter McIlroy. That will allow Benjamin Peterson to close in on the rear wing of Hunter McIlroy. Meanwhile, that battle for fourth and fifth ensues, but boy, Mark James, what a great move by Daniel Frost on into turn number one.
He starts to check out a little bit as I say that. The midway point of that Holman Boulevard backstretch is McIlroy that breaks just a little bit later and wants to close the gap. Front five really tighten up, and Jake, you could throw the proverbial blanket over that top five as you see him exit turn number 10.
Yeah, because Brabham is closing in closely on Peterson in third. Interesting, because when that swap for the lead took place up front, Peterson almost seemed in front of Michael to check up just a little bit. Got to wonder if maybe thinking about what happened at the outset of this race between the leaders didn't come into play and he didn't decide to be just a little bit conservative. The leader still is Frost. His advantage now about three car lengths through turn number 13.
McIlroy really sliding through turns 13. He may lose the back of Daniel Frost back out of the front straightaway. The best battle might be for third. Benjamin Peterson, Matthew Brabham, Stingray Robb locked in a good one, Michael, into turn one.
Yeah, indeed. That is a battle for third, fourth, and fifth. Peterson in the third position. Brabham and then Stingray Robb. Robb is the one on the charge. The driver tried to make a move. He gets all over that rear wing of Matthew Brabham. That will be the battle for that fourth position. But out front, it's Daniel Frost, now a three-car length advantage over Hunter McIlroy. That battle for third, fourth, and fifth ensues as they make their way through five and six.
Our vantage point gives us a view of the exit of the front straightaway and an exit of the back straightaway. And there's no question that when you exit those straightaways and set up for turns one and seven, respectively, it becomes a test of bravado to see who can lay off that brake pedal the longest and carry that momentum into the turn. You don't want to wait too long, though, because, Jake, that has a tendency to shove you into the runoff area.
Yeah, and Mark, I'll tell you, this vantage point from across the way from you allows for the view of the S's. And in that area is another one where if you get just a little bit loose, all of a sudden that rear end can step out, which can make things awfully tricky through that long sweeping right hand that is turn number 10. The leader is Daniel Frost. Looks like McIlroy might be closing the gap just a little bit, Nick, off of turn number 13.
We'll keep an eye on that as they're back out on the front straightaway. Davey, race control takes no action on the incident involving Lundqvist and Rasmussen, and we're watching them start to carve their way back through the field.
Yeah, and I think they penalized themselves, so the race control was no controversy, just doesn't have to do anything. They got filed to the back of the field anyway, so they may talk to him afterwards. Nobody did anything really wrong. It was just too early to do what happened.
It's a late pass by Lundqvist to get around Jacob Abel. They got around Abel. They've got around Ernie Francis Jr. They've also dispatched of James Rowe Jr. as well as Ryan Finney, as those two involved in that early accident. Lundqvist and Rasmussen now up to 9th and 10th. Up front, Davey Boyd, Daniel Frost just cannot shake Hunter McIlroy about a car length between them into turn 7.
Yeah, well, what I find is the leader is at a little bit of a disadvantage at the end of these long back straightaways. Everybody else in line has a toe. They have some free help. So in the back, once you have a little help, they're all about equal. But that leader, he's pushing there. He's cutting that door open for everybody, and he just can't get away. And that's, I think, what's happened with Rasmussen when he was out front, when Lucas was out front. Now McIlroy was out front. It happened to him, and now it's Frost. It just seems like you can't get away when you're the leader.
Daniel Frost, young man from Singapore, has been awful fast. Hunter McIlroy struggling through turn 13. And that lead looks like it may finally start to grow a little bit as they're back on the front straightaway. The advantage for Daniel Frost as they head down the front straightaway. Michael, it's as big as it's been. It's up to about eight car lengths.
Yeah, I think Hunter McIlroy just had a fantastic run out of turn 14 last time by. But now the battle for that third position. Matt Brabham looks to the inside of Benjamin Peterson, and he will lock them up. Carries momentum and makes contact with Benjamin Peterson. So Matt Brabham puts Benjamin Peterson into the grass at the exit of turn number one. Brabham will still move forward. He'll take over that fourth position. Stingray Robb moves to third. What a bad break for Benjamin Peterson. Daniel Frost still in the lead.
Yep, Daniel Frost is in the lead, and now there's almost an insurmountable gap, at least to this point of the race, between the front two. Matt Brabham was the one that was was able to get the fortune of the quick recuperative powers, Jake Query. You'll see him continue on in fourth place, but I don't know. Once they look at it a time or two, Jake, and raise control, his fortunes might change a little bit.
Yeah, because as it stands right now, he basically stood neutral. Looked like he was going to make up some ground, but as Michael had called, Stingray Rob was the one to benefit from that. Front three now starting to even out. Nick, you got to wonder at this point if tire preservation doesn't come into play as well. McIlroy Frost, realizing they're battling early, may think, you know what, let's make these Cooper tires last towards the end of this race.
I mean, heck, Jake, with the amount of contact we've seen, it may be the front and rear wings that we're more concerned about, but there is no doubt that Davey Data to turn one, Benjamin Peterson, I'm not sure he's going to be very happy with Matthew.
No, that was definitely on Matthew, for sure. I mean, he just got in too hot, locked the brakes up. When he locked those front brakes up, the car went straight. Actually, Peterson gave him room on the bottom, and he was down there, but Matty's car just wouldn't turn. He just was the wrong angle, and his left front connected with the left left front connected with the right rear, and F. Peterson's car, and it's definitely, that was definitely on Matty.
So Benjamin Peterson falls all the way back to the 13th position, and how about this for a penalty, Davey? Matthew Brabham, avoidable contact, being told to drop back eight positions. So that'll take him from fourth back to right there with Benjamin Peterson.
Yeah, and that's, unfortunate, but that's about what has to happen. And I hate it for both of those drivers. A good race going on, but still, only 13 to 35 laps. Probably should have waited. Matty should have been a little bit more patient right there. And it's a bummer for both those drivers.
So it looks like Brabham has let Saravalli get around him. How do you do this now, Davey? Because you don't want to, you want to stay in the throttle, but having to let these guys go and also manage gaps, it's going to be tough for Brabham.
Yeah, I know. So the best way to do it is you just go down the front straight and pull over and just do it now. Get the pain over with. Go to the back. Don't let the field spread out any more than it already has. And I just pull out of the way, let them all go by, and get in line where you're supposed to go, which is basically last, and then just try to fight back.
Christian Bogle looking to the inside of him, Michael, into one.
Yeah, that is Matty Brabham trying to leave as many cars as he can go by, but Christian Bogle, as Matt Brabham let him go by, nearly ran the car out into the grass at the exit of turn number one. Now Matt Brabham will file back in, still has a couple of positions to go before he's in the correct position, but as Davey said, he locked him up, had no control of that car entering turn number one. Tough break for Matt Brabham.
So as they head down to turn number five, Mark Janes, or turn seven, pretty good battle. Christian Bogle in that blue and white car, he's got his mirrors filled up with Christian Rasmussen, who's looking to the inside.
Yeah, Rasmussen takes a peek to the inside and then wisely decides to tuck in behind him. They'll sweep to the right. Right side touch the curbing. Then they'll do the opposite. Then they'll touch the curbing again with the right sides off of turn number nine.
Battle for eight. Bogle has it. Rasmussen is looking for it, but Bogle's able to hold off through turn number 11. Again, his advantage as the sun really starts to dance off the rear of those machines. It was about a half a car length. Now Rasmussen really starting to close in through turn number 12, but that's a narrow area of the racetrack. Setting up for 13, still not able to make that move.
13 of 12, 35 laps complete. It's Frost, McIlroy, Rob Saravalli, and Christian Bogle. We don't see Bogle off into the top five, but Michael, he's going to have to hold on if he wants to keep that fifth spot.
Yeah, indeed. And Christian Rasmussen is certainly on the charge, trying to make up for what could have been early in this race. Christian Bogle will have Christian Rasmussen right behind him. It's about two car lengths as Rasmussen checked up as they entered turn number one. The sun has gone behind the clouds here at the north end of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway road course. Call Christian Bogle, three car lengths ahead of Christian Rasmussen.
Good run for him off the north end of the racetrack down that Holman Boulevard, and Rasmussen trying to close now. It's about an eight car length gap now as Rasmussen climbs on the binders just a little bit later and tries to tuck right in behind Christian Bogle. Not able to do it just yet. They'll stake their way through the right-hander, then the left sides touch the left-hander. Then they'll swing it back to the right side, head toward the south end with Christian Bogle still in command.
Rasmussen, of course, based on qualifying, it would be determined he has the better car than does Bogle. But keep in mind, Rasmussen involved in that incident early that dropped him back, trying to make up ground, and Bogle is his target. But again, the distance is the same through turn number 13, about two car lengths between the two of them.
It is a 1.6-second advantage for Daniel Frost over Hunter McIlroy. Stingray Rob 3.3 seconds behind. Then Saravalli in fourth. Battle for fifth continues to be the best one on the racetrack. About a two-car length advantage for Christian Bogle over Rasmussen.
Yeah, Christian Rasmussen will take a look this time, and he will force the issue and put that car in great position. Nearly runs Christian Bogle off the track. They're still side by side, but Christian Rasmussen will be able to gain advantage over Christian Bogle. But Bogle fights back, drives it deep into turn number four. Christian Rasmussen will take over that position, give fifth to Christian Rasmussen. Christian Bogle is in that sixth position, but here comes Linus Lundqvist. He wants sixth.
Yeah, Linus Lundqvist is going to take a hard look into turn number seven. This time he's going to go to the inside of Bogle. Bogle breaks a little later, and they all now stack up into turn number seven. Rasmussen's going to grab another spot, so put Bogle back two spots from where you last saw him, jQuery.
Yeah, Bogle all of a sudden really lost ground there through the S's. As a matter of fact, you could even go so far as to say he is now tiptoeing his way through turn number 10. They work their way now, setting up for turn number 12. Bogle's bigger concern, he might lose another spot to Kippen Simpson.
Pretty impressive, though, Davey, for Christian Bogle. I mean, again, we don't see him a lot of times this high up in the running order, so he's having a good day with some of the struggles of the other drivers and doing a good job putting up fight against some of the faster guys in this field.
Yeah, hats off. I mean, obviously, he's been doing this for quite a while now. Like you said, just haven't seen the results that he wants, obviously. And now, you know, it seems like he's catching on, especially on this road course right here. So good run for him. I like to say he's fighting with the fast guys right now. He does fall behind Rasmussen and Lucas. We got to remember, they've been the fastest cars in the field. Took him a long time to get around. Finds himself in that seventh position. So good run.
Closing in on the halfway point of this Indy Lights Grand Prix of Indianapolis, race number one. This is round three of this championship, the Indy Lights Series presented by Cooper Tires here on IndyCar Radio. We owe you a full field rundown. It is Daniel Frost looking to win his first career Indy Lights race. He's got a 1.5 second lead over Hunter McElroy. In third is Stingray Robb. Fourth is Antonio Saravalle. Fifth is Christian Rasmussen. In fact, all five of those drivers have not won in Indy Lights. So shaping up to be a career-making day for one of those five. It is Linus Lundqvist, who was the pole sitter and the points leader, got turned and made contact with Christian Rasmussen earlier in this race. He runs in the sixth spot. Christian Bogle is seventh. Eighth is Kiffin Simpson. Ninth is Jacob Abel. Tenth is Ernie Francis Jr. 11th is James Rowe Jr. And then if you're just joining us, contact between Benjamin Peterson and Matthew Brabham has dropped those two drivers to 12th and 13th. And then Ryan Finney, who is back in Indy Lights for the first time, making a start in 8 years, runs in the 14th position, about 25 seconds behind the leaders. And Davey Hamilton, as we close in on halfway, again, for Daniel Frost, I mean, it's hanging tight at 1.6 seconds, doing a pretty good job of keeping Hunter McElroy behind it.
Yeah, that's right. Nice lead for McElroy. I mean, finally. Right? I mean, for Frost over McElroy, finally has that little bit of gap, and I think that what's happening is their tires are starting to wear out a little bit, but draft's still there. But now, if you can't stay right behind him in the corner, you're going to lose that draft a little bit, and that's what's happened. So when you don't have that new tire to have that little extra grip, you start falling back, and now they're spreading out. And boy, Frost is ready for that. I mean, we've seen it early on how close everybody was and battling for the lead.
Also gets you out of that push-to-pass range, too, right? I mean, he stays enough
that's
ahead
right.
of him that that McElroy can't use that extra horsepower.
That's exactly right.
So Frost, McElroy, and Robb as we close in on the halfway point of this race here at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Of course, gearing up for tomorrow's GMR IndyCar Grand Prix that you can hear on these same locations at 3 o'clock Eastern time tomorrow on IndyCar Radio. Let's go to pit lane. Ryan Marine standing by with a man who knows his way to victory lane in Indy Lights. Did it quite often a year ago, Ryan.
That would be our reigning Indy Lights champion, Kyle Kirkwood, who's taking it all in down here on pit lane here at the Andretti Autosport Stable, which is what you drove for in Indy Lights a year ago. Curious to get your thoughts on the start of this race. It's been an action-packed first half so far.
Well, you'll have to fill me in on the start of the race because I missed about the first 15 laps.
Well, you missed a lot.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. I heard that there's a caution. I heard there's a couple wheel banging, but it seems like it's been a solid first half of this race. I'm curious to see what happened. I'll look through the replays and stuff and see.
Well, you look at the closeness of the racing in Indy Lights. So this is what you were doing a year ago. Now you're there mixing it up with the stars of the NTT IndyCar Series, going wheel to wheel in an Indy Lights car. How has that prepared you now for what you're doing this year?
It's prepared me massively. You know, I got into the IndyCar from Indy Lights and felt very natural. I felt actually that the IndyCar was a lot easier to drive than the Indy Lights car around this place. It just makes so much grip. the IndyCar does on the Firestone rubber versus the Cooper tires, that it's kind of nice driving something that's a lower grip car than getting into something with some grip, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, well, this is pretty easy. Now, it's not going to be that easy doing over 80 laps or so, but yeah, it's definitely very, very good for any driver to come through the road to Indy Ring and then in Indy Lights and IndyCar.
Kyle Kirkwood is our guest here on Pit Lane, the reigning Indy Lights champ. Take us through your weekend so far for the AJ Foyt Racing Team. How has the 14 Chevrolet been for you? What are your prospects for tomorrow?
You know, it's similar to Barber. The car feels good. We're just scratching our head how we're losing time, because the balance is there. We're just not that quick at the moment. Now we've kind of got a direction. It's just let's see if it pans out for us tomorrow. It's looking like it might rain quite a bit, actually. Actually, some severe weather during the race tomorrow. So I'm kind of got my fingers crossed that's going to happen. It's going to be wet, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah, you said something similar to that at Barber, starting where you were. You were doing your rain dance, but it didn't work.
You're right. It definitely didn't work. So I'm doing the opposite now. I'm like, it's probably not going to rain. It never rains when I don't want it to, and that hopefully it does rain because of that.
Fingers crossed for you, that's for sure. Last thing for you, there's been some speculation about what your future will be beyond this season in IndyCar. I understand if there's not much you can say right now, but I know folks are curious about where you're going to be racing looking ahead to next year. What is the status?
Yeah, I'm curious too. That's just something we can't talk about at the moment.
Certainly, I understand that. Well, thank you very much. Appreciate the time. We'll let you get back to enjoying the race.
Thank you.
That's Kyle Kirkwood.
He can't talk about it, Davey, but us two knuckleheads certainly can. Yeah. It was reported, I think, earlier this past week by Nathan Brown from the Indianapolis Star that Kyle Kirkwood, it's going to be one and done at AJ Foyt Racing, because he appears headed back to where he won that Lights Championship with Andretti Auto.
Yeah, and I talked to AJ and Larry Foyt. I mean, he was just loaned to them, obviously, from Andretti, so it was a good loan for AJ, put a good driver in the car, kind of get a baseline over there as well. So, obviously, Michael and AJ have made a deal to where they get to run him for a year, and as soon as they want him back. So, that tells me right there that kind of answers the Rossi question,
yeah,
right?
The domino's starting to fall.
Yeah, so I think it was a situation to where, you know, the Rossi isn't the one leaving. He's the one that's got getting pushed out, and Kirkwood's going to fill that seat.
Let's pick up the action back on the racetrack. A moments ago, Michael Young, Christian Rasmussen got around Antonio Saravalli down in turn number one. You're going to see Saravalli come back onto the front straightaway, and he's still got his hands full. Now it's Linus Lundqvist, who is all over the rear wing of that car as they come back out of the front straightaway. They're separated by just a couple car lengths. It's the battle for fifth.
Yeah, nice job by Antonio Saravalli, driving for HMD Motorsports this race weekend. Held off Christian Rasmussen for at least four laps. Now Linus Lundqvist trying to make up the ground lost with contact with he and Christian Rasmussen in the opening laps of this race. But Antonio Saravalli doing a great job holding him off thus far. This is the battle for that fifth position. Give it to Antonio Saravalli. Still two car lengths over Linus Lundqvist.
To the turn number seven and have the advantage. We shall see as Linus Lundqvist is trying to draw a bead on Saravalli as they climb on the binders and work their way through that very tight, very unforgiving left-hander. Quickly back into the throttle, the right-hander, then they'll sweep it back to the left. This is when that grip starts to go away, Jake, this is one of those places on the race course where I know they've got to feel it.
Yeah, and all of a sudden, Saravalli continues to feel the heated pressure of Linus Lundqvist. Again, Antonio Saravalli now finds himself right between the two cars that were at one time at the front of this field. And it is Rasmussen that got around him. Lundqvist is going to try to do the same, but he's not able to do so. About 20 yards to make up as they work their way through turn number 13.
Yeah, Saravalli and Lundqvist both driving for that HMT Dale Coyne Racing Team, and they have nearly identical cars, which Michael Young is really the worst-case scenario for turn announcers, but it is still Saravalli with that fifth spot for now.
Yeah, and interestingly enough, we may not see round two between Rasmussen and Linus Lundqvist, as Rasmussen has checked out about seven car lengths over Antonio Saravalli. But for Linus Lundqvist, the task at hand is to get around his teammate, but that might be a bigger task than he is up for at the moment. The gap between he and Antonio Saravalli, Mark, is now nine car lengths.
Yeah, he's
trying to do what he can, Linus Lundqvist is, trying to do what he can to minimize the damage from the earlier dust-up, especially when you're battling for a points championship. Now, more points are on the table tomorrow, but you really don't want to throw away an opportunity at some prime points like he did today. Again, he's got an opportunity to maybe redeem himself a little bit, and he hopes to get into the top six.
And again, they work their way now off of turn number 10. The gap is really about the same as it was last time by. Other thing coming into play, Nick, is the weather is changing just a little bit. It is still warm and a beautiful day here, but there's now suddenly a bit of a wind that would be at the back of the race cars as they work their way off turn number 11.
Davey, how does that affect those cars, the wind when the breeze picks up around a racetrack like this?
Yeah, it does affect it, but not massively. It's the same for everybody, and it's not like an oval, right? I mean, it may move you around a little bit. The car may, you know, they'll get a gust every now and then, but nothing. They're already hitting curbs and going right and left, and so it doesn't really affect them that much. So the biggest thing is temperature as it cools off. Could get better, but as the fuel load gets lighter, but then when that happens, the tires are wearing out. So the pace probably will stay about the same. I'm watching how far, you know, Frost has almost a 2 second lead over second place, and then there's another second lead over Rob, Stingray Rob in third. But then when Rasmussen's came all the way from the back, finds himself a fourth. He's already gained. He was like 12 seconds back behind Stingray Rob. He is now 6 seconds back. So he's making time up. I just don't know if there's enough laps.
Mark James, it looked like Linus Lundqvist had a pretty strong charge. Did he get to the outside of Antonio Seravalli?
He did. It made the pass. It did it rather cleanly, about 100 yards before the turn, in fact. He was full song off that Holman Boulevard. So flip those positions, Jake Query, as Linus Lundqvist is in front of Antonio Seravalli.
Yep, and he is now entering already into turn number 12 is Linus Lundqvist. So Seravalli now watches that car. The last two that have gotten past him set sail through turn number 13.
And with that pass, it'll be a couple more championship points for Linus Lundqvist, who, as of now, Davey, is your championship leader. But look what a potential win right now would do for Daniel Frost.
Yeah, how about that? Pushes him up in that second position. Only 6 points behind him as it stands right now. Stingray Rob in that third. Pedersen at that fourth position, only 22 points back. Brabham's the one taking the hit. You know, he led the points after the first race. Finds himself 26 points back in fifth if it ended right now.
11 laps to go here at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway for the Indy Lights Grand Prix of Indianapolis, race number one. A doubleheader weekend for Indy Lights. And obviously, Davey, with a bit of a change with Roger Penske and the Penske Group taking over IndyCar sanctioning for Indy Lights. Not as many doubleheaders, but we still got one here at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. And with the way that this racetrack races, with the way these guys get drafts and are able to use that push to pass, I'm all for it.
Yeah, I am too. You know, I do like doubleheader events and most of the time, and for the grassroots series coming into here, like the 2000s and pros and obviously Indy Lights. I think it's healthy to have two races. Just give these drivers more opportunities to learn what it's about. Give them more racing experience, and I think racing experience is way better than just practicing. So I think it's a good idea. Now, obviously, all races go with prize money, so a promoter has to come up with a little additional prize money, but obviously Roger owns the facility and the series, so he's able to make it work out. So it's going to be exciting. I don't even know where they start tomorrow, Nick, because I never... You know, I know they're qualified, but I don't have an official lineup.
I can tell you this. I didn't see the exact lineup, but it's very similar to what we saw for qualifying for race number one. I think it was Lundqvist and McIlroy. They'll be on the front row for race number two again tomorrow. So they got a chance to rebound.
I figured it was going to be almost identical, but you never know. You know, somebody just could have had one flyer lap and then not a second lap that was so good. So,
Again, three doubleheader weekends in Indy Lights this season. This is the first of the three at Detroit in early June. The Lights drivers will race twice, and then we will cap off the season in September with a pair of races at WeatherTech Raceway Laguna Seca. Before we get there, in June, we'll go to Road America. Indy Lights in July will race at Mid-Ohio and Iowa Speedway in August. How about this, Davey? They're going to get a chance for the first time to go to the streets of Nashville as the undercard for IndyCar. In August 20th, they'll get a chance to go on the Oval, Worldwide Technology Raceway just outside of St. Louis, and then a trip to Portland International in September. Again, these are all IndyCar tracks, which is what makes this so very valuable for these drivers to try to get to IndyCar, like Kyle Kirkwood, who we just heard from. They learn the racetracks before they even get to the IndyCar.
Yeah, and that's what it's all about. And you know what? It really gives an opportunity for these IndyCar owners to see who are the next, you know, what's the next talent coming up. And then when they're at the same racetrack, it's easy for them to poke their head out or watch them on the monitors to say, hey, this kid looks like he's good, he's consistent, and we need to look deeper into him.
Of course, we appreciate all the different outlets that you can hear, not only the NTT IndyCar series, but the Indy Light Series presented by Cooper Tires. One of those outlets, of course, the IndyCar app powered by NTT Data. It's available for free to fans worldwide. Climb on board with in-car cameras, follow along with live timing and scoring, and listen to the radio broadcast. You can download that app today in the App Store or Google Play. Working lap number 26, just nine to go. Daniel Frost's lead. Davey, it stayed consistent right at 1.6 seconds. McIlroy is right there. He's not letting him get away, but just simply can't inch forward enough to really make a challenge.
Well, let me tell you how close they are. Frost, last lap was a 1:17.81. McIlroy's last lap was a 1:17.81. Rob's was a 1:17.89. They're running almost identical speed, so pretty hard to make up that gap. And then you go to Rasmussen trying to catch Rob. He's a 1:17.85, basically the same speed as Rob. So all these cars are following each other, are really running the same speed as the car in front of them, so hard to close that gap up.
Michael, essentially what Hunter McIlroy is looking for is just one bobble from Daniel Frost.
And I thought he might have had it a couple of laps ago in turn number seven. Daniel Frost locked up the front left tires, but that didn't really cause that gap to fall by any stretch of the imagination. Mark Daniel Frost has been in command once all that dust had settled, still about a second and a half back to Hunter McIlroy.
Not sure you should close the book on Stingray Rob, although as I say that, Hunter McIlroy really starts to distance himself a little bit. He does break a plenty late, does McIlroy, but so does Stingray Rob. I don't know, Jake. Fingers crossed, wishful thinking maybe, but we're hopeful that that battle for second could heat up a little bit.
Yeah, one, two, and three are pretty evenly spaced. And Mark, tip of the cap to Stingray Rob, because this is a guy that has plugged and plotted along to work himself to this position. Just steady incremental improvements, week to week, race to race, finding himself now in position for a podium. Leader Daniel Frost, that white machine with a light orange paint scheme on it, takes the right-hander back onto the main straightaway. He's got about 15 car lengths between himself and McIlroy, 15 more back to Stingray Rob.
And Davey, Jake makes a great point about Idaho's own Stingray Rob. Good, consistent start to the season. Fourth at St. Petersburg, third at Barber a couple weeks ago, in contention to get a podium finish here as well. We think that first win's going to come eventually, but more importantly, it's going to keep him right in the hunt in the championship.
Yeah, he's absolutely in that hunt. Doing a great job this year. He switched over to Andretti Autosport. Just seems like there's a little bit of magic there. Seems like the engineer and him are getting along really well. And a lot of times during the testing and things, he's the fastest of the four cars. So Rob's doing a really outstanding job. And as you said, right as it stands right now, if it finishes, he's only 19 points out of this championship. Second podium in a row. And when you podium, you can win. Anytime you're on that step, you could be on the top step. So Rob is really doing a good job, picked his pace up. I mean, obviously, we know he's been very successful in the series before this. And last year just kind of had a tough year, his first year in the Indy Lights. But this year, he's making up for it.
The lead for Daniel Frost is starting to grow a little bit at 1.9 seconds over Hunter McIlroy. McIlroy runs in that second spot. Christian Rasmussen is fourth. He's trying to run down Stingray Rob, who's in third. Linus Lundqvist is fifth. Antonio Saravalli is sixth. Christian Bogle seventh. Jacob Abel is eighth. And then, Jake, we're keeping an eye on the battle for ninth. Ernie Francis Jr., Kiffin Simpson, Benjamin Peterson, they're all over each other.
Yeah, those three are really close right now, as a matter of fact. Francis, the leader of that trio by, boy, oh, well, I'll tell you what, there was a lockup there, and all of a sudden, one of those cars, it is Simpson, locked him up going into turn number 12. He had to go through the runoff area. That one settled itself out. Francis looked in his rearview mirror and said, you know what, I'm just going to keep on sailing. They worked their way now through 14.
We were watching, Davey. Kiffin Simpson was putting the pressure on Ernie Francis down into turn seven. Really overdid it there on the south end of the race.
Yeah, just really overdid it over there. Just locked that brake up so slightly. Attempted to make the corner, seeing he wasn't going to do it. Did the wise thing. Just take the runoff area, get right back on track. Unfortunately, he lost three positions doing that. But, man, he had to give it a try. It is towards the end of the race. This is where you try things.
Yep, with six laps to go. So Ernie Francis Jr. will hold on to that ninth position. We'll see if Benjamin Peterson, who's been pretty fast, can claw his way back to that red rear wing of Ernie Francis's machine. They're separated by about three or four car lengths, so that one may be about a lap away from getting pretty good. And right behind Peterson is Matthew Brabham. Probably not a lot of love loss if you're just joining us. Those two tangled down in turn number one, battling inside the top five. Christian Rasmussen and Linus Lundqvist tangled, racing for the lead early in this event. And that is what has given Daniel Frost the race lead with five laps to go. A 1.9-second advantage over Hunter McIlroy, with Stingray Rob running in third. Those three are separated by under 4 seconds. Then it's a large gap back to Christian Rasmussen and Linus Lundqvist. Antonio Seravalli sits in sixth. Christian Bogle starting to hone in on him down into turn number one. Jacob Abel is eighth. And then you've got Ernie Francis Jr., who, again, is starting to charge. He's into ninth. And, Michael, it looks like Matthew Brabham just recently got around Benjamin Peterson.
Yeah, not sure what part of the course that happened, but indeed it happened as Ernie Francis enters turn number one. Boy, after this one, Nick, we could have a cage match. We talked about Rahal and Grosjean. They're going to be all kinds of battles after this one's over in this Indy Lights race today. But yes, for Matthew Brabham, able to get around Benjamin Peterson. Pretty sure it was a mistake by Benjamin Peterson because Marquis had a huge gap on Matthew Brabham last time by.
For Matthew Brabham is to put a mistake like what happened earlier in the race behind him. That's easier said than done in terms of Matthew Brabham because it's so very, very important for him to stay in contention for the championship, Jake. He really needs that scholarship. He's making every attempt to revive his open wheel racing career. And boy, you know, that the mistake like that is costly for most, really costly for Matthew Brabham.
Yeah, and that right now, Matthew Brabham working his way off of turn number 11. Nick, as you had talked about, the year started off promising for Matthew Brabham. Not saying, of course, that one hiccup here all of a sudden derails that, but to Mark's point, Matthew Brabham trying to reinsert himself here in terms of his name within the Light Series. He works his way now off to turn number 13.
Yeah, and Davey, I mean, the crazy thing for Matthew Brabham is he's not alone. He's not the only guy that's had a hiccup. I mean, no one has been perfect so far in this season. Lundqvist and Peterson came into this weekend 1-2 in points, and they've both been involved in accidents. So far, it's just been one of those years.
Yeah, don't be afraid to lead, but be afraid to lead, right? You know, sometimes being the leader in the points championship, things can go wrong. But right now, Lundqvist, you know, he had a little malfunction, but he had such a large lead, finds himself right now, you know, not doing great in the race, but climbed back to that top five and still leading his points, but only 6 points over Frost. So, yeah, it seems like being a points leader right now could be a deficit.
So we talked about Stingray Robb and how nice the podium will be for him if he can hold on for the third spot in the championship. Let's talk about Hunter McElroy. Still 1.8 seconds, make it 1.9 now. Doesn't appear like he's catching Daniel Frost, but this is a much-needed bounce back for him. Of course, crashed at St. Petersburg, had an accident where he got into Matthew Brabham and kind of ruined his race at Barber Motorsports Park. He came into this weekend 13th in points out of the 14, Davey. So this is looking like a nice opportunity for McElroy to turn it around.
Yeah, it's made up a lot of points, and now's the time to do it. The points are pretty tight all through the field, so anytime he can take advantage of good finishes. But, man, it's so hard when you have just 14 cars to really gain a lot. If somebody has problems, you only gain a little bit sometimes. And so, and by the way, he's not losing that much because of 14 cars. He went to dead last, obviously. Moved his way all the way back to the top four. That just tells you what kind of speed he has.
Three to go, and a pretty good battle shaping up for the sixth position, Mark James, as they rocket through the switchback. Antonio Seravalli, and he has his mirrors full of Christian Bogle.
Yeah, Christian Bogle but was in contention, raced pretty well within the top five or six, and we'll see if he breaks a little later. He does indeed, but I don't think he's going to be able to grab that spot. Now he'll do the crossover move. They entertain thoughts of going side by side through 7, 8, and 9, Jake, but cooler heads prevail. They're back to nose to tail.
Yeah, so Bogle backed off just a little bit. That allows Seravalli about a car length and a half advantage. But again, Bogle coming off of turn number 11 tried to again swing it to the outside. Setting up for turn number 12 right in the tire tracks. Goes in the same line than does Seravalli. Nick, it's been a really active day for both of these drivers, Seravalli and Bogle.
Yep, time running out for Bogle if he wants to grab that sixth position as they are back out onto the front straightaway. We'll call that battle one final time as they do a little drafting. The advantage looks like about five car lengths for Seravalli heading to turn one.
Yeah, again, that battle for six, Antonio Seravalli. Last time down here on the north end, it was Christian Bogle who locked him up in turn number three. He was really trying to advance and take that position away from Antonio Seravalli. Not nearly as close this time by. Again, Antonio Seravalli in that sixth position as he exits out of turn number four. Mark, he gets a nice run. Call it six car lengths back to Christian Bogle.
Cleaner last time through four and five at the entrance to turn number six was Bogle. Doesn't look like Seravalli is under duress right now, although as we say that, Bogle, he breaks way later. There's about a two-car length disparity now between the two as they literally slide through 8 and 9.
As for Daniel Frost, he's navigating turns 13 and 14, about to head on the front straightaway to see the white flag, looking for career win number one. When he's not in the car, some of his favorite pastimes include working out, and walking with his cats. Michael, he's walked the dog, so to speak, here. White flag, one to go for Daniel Frost.
His 23rd start in this Indy Lights program, and through attrition and a brilliant pass around Hunter McElroy, Daniel Frost for HMD Motorsports trying to get his first Indy Lights win. He makes his way through turn number three for the final time, cleanly through turn number four. Mark James, he'll make his way down the switchback and down Holman Boulevard for the final time.
Frost, McElroy, and Rob, perhaps to some, an unlikely podium here at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, or maybe at any Indy Lights stop, but still an enjoyable one nonetheless. And I think more than anything else, Jake, not only are they going to win this race, I think they'll consider themselves fortunate to have survived. There was a lot of carnage through the first 10 laps, but Frost, McElroy, and Rob kept a cool head.
Yep, that's exactly right. Give credit to all three of them for staying clean. Daniel Frost, who will celebrate his 21st birthday in the month of October, they're going to have some bubbly grape juice for him, because Nick Yeoman, he is on his way to a champagne spray here on the road course, or I guess a facsimile thereof, at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway.
He is a true Road to Indy product. He spent time in USF 2000 and 2019. He moved to Indy Pro 2000 in 2020, and now he's an Indy Lights and a race winner. Daniel Frost wins the Indy Lights Grand Prix of Indianapolis, race number one, for his first career race win for HMD and Dale Coyne Racing. A very excited Daniel Frost. Little fist pumping Davey Hamilton as he heads into turn number one to cool that car down.
Yeah, well deserved. Like I said, kept his head cool. He didn't have the best of luck on the start, but then he did a great job. Got in the lead, held off McElroy a few times, and then brought it to victory.
We're just about done. You're not done. You get to go drive the two-seater for a little bit, don't you?
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, I'm going down and drive the two-seater, give some rides.
All right. Great. Appreciate it, Davey Hamilton. Daniel Frost, your race winner here at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Hunter McElroy comes home for a hard-earned second-place finish. Stingray Rob scores his second podium of the season as he finishes in third. Christian Rasmussen and Linus Lundqvist, they tangle early in the event, fall all the way back to 13th and 14th. They rally to finish fourth and fifth. Rasmussen takes fourth. Lundqvist takes fifth. He'll be on the pole for race number two tomorrow. Antonio Saravalli does hold off Christian Bogle to finish in the sixth position. Bogle comes home with a good seventh-place effort. Jacob Abel, one of the rookies for Abel Motorsports, he finishes in eighth. Ernie Francis Jr. comes home in ninth. Matthew Brabham going to be disappointed with the 10th-place finish, as is Benjamin Peterson, who is going to finish in 11th. Kiffin Simpson comes home in 12th. James Rowe Jr. is 13th. Ryan Finney will finish in the 14th position. As for the points, Linus Lundqvist will hold on to the points lead for now. Just six markers, though, over our newest race winner in Indy Lights, Daniel Frost. He's now second in points. Stingray Rob is third, about 19 markers back. Fourth in points is Benjamin Peterson, who, again, takes a big hit, finishing the 11th position. And then it's Matthew Brabham, 24 points back in fifth. We'll let the entire field make their way back around to pit lane before we hear from what I think is going to be a very excited young man, Daniel Frost from Singapore, born October 18th, 2001. Nothing makes you feel old like seeing race car drivers born, and it's not a 1900 series year. But, hey, that's how it goes. We're all getting a little bit older. Again, Indy Lights going to race again tomorrow. They'll go racing at 1:10 Eastern time. You can hear that right here on IndyCar Radio. First up on our airwaves will be the final practice session, the IndyCar warm-up. It's a 30-minute practice for the stars of the NTT IndyCar Series. That's coming your way at 10:30 Eastern time. And then, of course, really geared up for the GMR Grand Prix, 3 o'clock Eastern time on all of these same outlets of IndyCar Radio, round number 5 of the IndyCar Series. First four races won by Chevrolet drivers, and tomorrow it'll be Will Power who will be on pole position. We see Daniel Frost has pulled that car down onto pit lane and gets to go where everyone dreams. Victory Lane at Indianapolis to celebrate his first career win. And again, it vaults him into second place in the points championship. All of a sudden, a guy that we got to start talking about as a championship competitor. Of course, this is a 14-round championship, so lots of racing to do, as this was just race number three. Round four will be tomorrow, and then, of course, it'll be off to the bumpy streets of Detroit. But for Daniel Frost, he scores the race win. And three different race winners in three races. That's what we'd like to see, some parity in Indy Lights. The young man from Singapore takes off that Hans device, going to pop out of that race car very soon to celebrate a first career win. It's what's always exciting, and he earned it. There's no doubt about it after a lot of drivers tangled around this racetrack, and Daniel Frost is a guy who has battled some adversity, oftentimes has had some speed, but oftentimes hasn't found the finishes. Well, he found it today. Let's hear from a few more of those competitors before we hear from our race winner. Let's go back to pit lane and Rob Blackman.
Yeah, Hunter McElroy with a second-place finish. I was telling the listeners pre-race you were my pick to click because I felt like you'd had some really bad luck in the first two races of the season. Not to say that Lady Luck was shining on you today. You certainly earned this, but the fact that you were able to stay clean in what was an awfully messy race early certainly was a key, was it not?
Yeah, it was crazy. I mean, I could see Linus and Rasmussen racing hard. And, you know, obviously I had a few incidents the first couple races and I wasn't really prepared to race that hard because I felt like that was going to happen. And I hate to see that happen. You know, it was a fun race. We were all very close. I'm honestly really disappointed it went full course yellow because I had a really good gap. But it's the way it goes. And Daniel got me in push a pass. And then I was there, had a few chances, but had a few little moments and then just bring it home second. So really happy to get the year going. I think we got a lot of good points. I owe it to all my guys, Jess, Dalton, my mechanics, my engineer, Matt. We had a tough start to the year, but we have a lot of speed. So we're going to be just fine, I think, and we'll keep plugging away. That's the first one of the year done. So obviously we want to go one better tomorrow, but I think this gives us some good momentum. And it's not that hard to finish a race.
We'll look forward to seeing you tomorrow, Hunter. Congratulations.
Thanks,
yeah, and you could sense the sarcasm in his voice because for the first two races, it has been a struggle to finish. But, again, a really nice second-place finish for Hunter McElroy. A good third for Stingray Rob Blackman.
Yeah, how about fourth at St. Pete, third at Barber Motorsports Park, and now a third today. Talk to me about this race today, Stingray.
Man, that was kind of gifted to us. On that start, we lost a couple positions, it looked like, and then with those four guys just taking each other out, it just gave us that position, and I think that's what we got to keep doing. Consistency is key when it comes into the championship, so I'm going to be looking forward for tomorrow, and I think what we need to do with the car is pretty clear, and I'm pretty happy with where we're at. I mean, I think we had a good car there at the end of the race. Hunter was pretty quick. It looked like he was closing in on Frost, and we were just hanging on a little bit, but like I said, I'm pretty happy. All the glory goes to God, and we're going to keep our heads up and keep working.
We'll look forward to seeing you tomorrow. Congratulations.
Thank you.
To Ryan Moran, who is with the winner.
And it's a big smile on the face of Daniel Frost, who just is receiving congratulations from seemingly everyone here in the pit lane. Daniel, last year, three times you were a runner-up. Now you get to taste victory for the first time in Indy Lights presented by Cooper Tires, and what a great place to do it.
It's a perfect place to do it, and yeah, big smiles. You know, finally able to feel how that first place is pretty awesome. Been pipped out couple times last year. It kind of got me frustrated, but you know, I never gave up, and finally it came through. So big smiles to the team and myself for this result.
And it was a wild race. Take us through the first few laps in your view of some of the chaos in front of you.
Yeah, I know. I mean, everyone was just battling for positions, and I was just there a little bit behind first to third, and I was like, okay, something could happen here, but I got to make the most of it. So I had to stay close to all those guys, and eventually it turned like lap three. Unfortunate for my teammate, but you know, he got taken out by another competitor, so you know, sad face to that, but you know, I had to recover for the team a little bit, and you know, we managed to get that top spot, so yeah, great.
And finally, you made the switch to the HMD team for 2022. Has the year gone as you expected? What has it been like in the new environment?
Kind of what I expected to win. Last year was just a rookie season, so we were just working on making myself a better driver. But today I've really decided that, you know, this is the year that I need to do something. So
you decided that today?
I decided that on the off season.
Sure.
But you know, I did decide it today we have to win. So yeah, it was great that we made some progress. Cars coming alive, teams coming alive, myself is coming alive. So yeah, all good.
Fantastic performance. Congratulations. You are a race winner.
I am a race winner for Indy Lights.
Your podium today, Stingray Rob finishes third, Hunter McElroy second, and your race winner for the first time in his career in Indy Lights Daniel Frost. A big thanks to our driver analyst today, who was Davey Hamilton, calling the action. Around the track was Michael Young, Mark Janes, and Jake Query. In the pits, Ryan Marine and Rob Blackman. The chief engineer is Rick Evans, RF operations by Paul Levitt, and our spotter today was David Platt. Our producer is Sam Rumsa, and the network director is Chris Pollack. I'm Nick Yeoman, reminding you to come back here tomorrow for the Indy Lights Grand Prix of Indianapolis, race number 2 at 1:10 Eastern Time. After that, Mark Janes will be back here in the booth for flag-to-flag coverage of the GMR Grand Prix at 3 p.m. Eastern. And don't forget, click the follow button on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. So long from Indianapolis.
Proceeding was an exclusive copyrighted presentation of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway Radio Network.